which was precisely what he'd done, using the fabrication unit in the cave where Pei Shanwei and Commodore Pei had hidden Emu's pika, and all the other tools they'd provided for Merlin's use, to manufacture the new devices. Just as he'd used the same fabrication unit to hide Charlian's comm in the golden pectoral scepter she wore about her neck. Caleb wore a matching scepter. They were exact duplicates, down to the maker's stamp and the tiniest scratch of the pectorals she'd commissioned as a welcome home gift for his return from Coruscant. And they'd have to be literally smashed apart to reveal the forbidden technology concealed at their hearts. While he was at it, he'd produced yet another marvel in the form of the contact lenses Charlian wore at this very moment. At first, the thought of actually sticking something into her own eye, even something as clear and tiny as a contact lens, had been more than she was prepared to undertake. Caleb had been more adventurous, however, and his delight had been so great, Charlian had gathered her courage and taken the same plunge. She was glad she had, since the tiny lenses not only corrected the slight but irritating farsightedness, which had been growing worse over the last couple of years, but also permitted her new tiny comm to project its imagery directly onto the lenses. She could view remote imagery transmitted to her over the comm without the betraying hologram the original larger comm had produced. In fact, she and Caleb could actually view images garnered by Merlin's snarks, those self-navigating autonomous reconnaissance and communication platforms she still understood only poorly, which was actually letting them assist Merlin and the artificial intelligence called Owl in the endless struggle to cope with all the intelligence material Merlin's network of snarks made available. Merlin had followed up the same idea and provided the same ability to everyone else who'd been added to what Caleb had dubbed the Inner Circle, the list of people who knew the entire truth and had been cleared to use the comms. There weren't many of them, unfortunately, but the list was growing slowly. In some ways, that only made it more frustrating, of course. The ability to stay in close, instant communication with people literally thousands of miles away, not to mention communicating with Owl or the ability to view Merlin's visions for themselves, was an advantage whose importance would have been literally impossible to overstate. At the same time, it was something which had to be used with extraordinary care. They couldn't afford to have too many of the wrong people start wondering just exactly how it was that they managed to coordinate so perfectly over such vast distances, for example. And, in some ways, the ability to talk to some of their closest allies only made their inability to do the same thing with all of them even more incredibly frustrating. Still, stop that, Charlie, she told herself severely. You're letting your mind wander on purpose, and you know it. Which, she admitted, probably wasn't too surprising, under the circumstances. She looked ahead and saw the vast curve of Safehold stretching out before them. It was beginning to grow lighter, she realized, and felt a fresh stir of awed delight as she realized they really were catching up to the day, which had already left Chisholm so far behind. How much longer to your cave, Merlin? She asked, and heard his quiet, amused chuckle over the comm. Apparently, she hadn't managed to pitch her voice quite as casually as she'd intended.
About 25 minutes, Your Majesty, he replied. Just over another 7,500 miles or so.